This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana on Good Friday. And we're doing a live show, so if you'd like to join the conversation, we welcome your insights at 877-217-5757. The big story, of course, in the world today on Good Friday is the Holy Thursday release of a redacted 448-page Mueller report. For 21 minutes yesterday, the nation watched as President Trump had the loyalty from his Attorney General, William P. Barr, reading a prepared statement and then answering a few questions. Barr presented the special counsel's report 90 minutes before its public release in the best possible light for the president. No conspiracy, no obstruction. A sincerely frustrated and angered president who had willingly cooperated with the investigators. No intention on the part of Robert Swan Mueller III to have Congress make the hard call on whether Mr. Trump might have broken the law. This is one of four stories today on the front page of the New York Times, which has much of the Mueller report released to the public in its pages today, the newspaper of record in this country, and Bill Barr's portrayal of the Mueller report has been rebutted by many. Some Republicans, but most Democrats, believe that Bill Barr is acting as the attorney for the President of the United States rather than the attorney for the public of our country, the people of our nation. Dan Moldea, the intrepid investigative reporter, has been sifting through the 448-page document, and he is with us to talk about it. Again, your number is 877-217-5757. How do you see it, Dan Moldea?
First of all, that was your introduction was really well done. You really summarized that very well. And the New York Times, to me, is the key to this whole thing today. I mean, the editorial board did not one but two editorials about this whole thing. One was about the Mueller indictment, as they called it, essentially saying that the information was there, that if Donald Trump wasn't president of the United States, he'd be under indictment right now for obstruction. And then the other one was you can't trust Barr. They've got to release the unredacted document. And I see that Congress, the House Judiciary Committee, has just subpoenaed the document from the Department of Justice. So it'll be interesting to see the fight that ensues as a result of this. Plus, I mean, right now the Democrats, they're saying the Democrats have this dilemma as to whether to proceed or not. No realistic person believes that what we know right now can be that it's impeachable, that you can proceed with impeachment hearings on the basis of this. But, you know, we need to hear from Barr, who's going to testify before both the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. And then we're going to hear from Bob Mueller, and that's going to be fascinating, to say the least. That will be a pretty riveting testimony, I'd say, and will strike the interest of the entire country. I mean, I think everything will stop when Mueller testifies. And the thing that I'm concerned about, listen, let me tell you something. When March 24th, Bill Barr did his initial summary of the Mueller report, which he received on March 22nd, 2 days earlier, I thought, you know, I did a mea culpa on this thing. I thought we had overreached on this thing and everything else. And, you know, the evidence is just the way it was stacking up. It just looked like it was going to be in a very, very certain direction. And, you know, some of us overplayed our hands. I include myself in that category, where I thought that Mueller was going to file all these RICO indictments. And, I mean, I still could be vindicated in that it's clear from the report that Mueller has farmed a lot of these cases out. I think 14 cases total. That's mostly what's in the redacted sections of the document. And so I think the RICO cases could still proceed, but I was surprised that it wasn't Mueller who was the one who did it, because the 14 prosecutors he had on his team are really well-trained and experienced mob RICO prosecutors. Yesterday, I thought when Barr was doing his opening statement, I thought the guy's hitting a home run here. He's really knocking it out of the park. But he made certain representations about the Mueller report that once you actually got into it, were just completely untrue. I mean, his representation of the Mueller report was a complete fabrication. And he has given, you know, and by him basically proclaiming no collusion, no obstruction, he has basically given Trump a clean bill of health, and that's what upset a lot of people who thought that instead of being the attorney general, the attorney for all the people, that he was the private attorney of Donald Trump, which is what he always wanted Jeff Sessions to be.
All right. Well, Steve Scalise, the U.S. House Minority Whip from Jefferson Parish here in Louisiana, number two person in the Republican minority in the House, he puts his spin on it, saying there is no longer any doubt there was no collusion with the Trump campaign. And Congressman Scalise goes on to say Democrats who have been running around for the last 2 years making outlandish claims about the president and his family ought to apologize to the American people for misleading them and the press about this smear campaign. What do you think? 877-217-5757. Dan Moldea has set the stage for the conversation, and obviously the portrayal of the report from William Barr, the Attorney General, is one that is rosy for the president, but when you get down in the weeds, there are many matters in here that are not favorable to the president, and the president is lashing out at it today. As you would expect, he is attacking those who criticized him and have come close, perhaps right to the edge of saying he engaged in criminal conduct as the president of the United States. On page 182, it says, if we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state, based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, we are unable to reach that judgment. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on the air with Dan Moldea.
Good morning. Always an honor to have an audience with Mr. Moldea. Richard Nixon's doom was when he told John Dean in the Oval Office, you don't have to lie, but you don't have to tell the truth. Now, that was captured on tape, but from what I understand regarding the Bob Mueller report, President Trump has told several people to lie. So using the same standard that doomed Richard Nixon, why aren't we having impeachment hearings right now?
All right.
The New York Times did a, it's in the paper today, seven things to look for in the Mueller report. And the seventh thing is, imagine yourself knowing absolutely nothing about this and then reading this report. It would knock your socks off. And that's true. I mean, we have become so, as you know, David, we've become so hardened to this day-to-day drama that we have right now with this guy in the White House, where every day there's something new, that we are becoming numb to this whole thing. We are the frogs in the pot of slowly boiling water, where it just keeps getting, we don't even notice it, that we're, you know, that we're just, you know, in a pot of boiling water. And as a consequence of this, you know, it's just, I got to tell you, I got to hand it to this guy in that I just don't know how he's taking the pressure physically, mentally, emotionally, morally, spiritually. I just don't know how he's doing it. I want the guy to live a long and healthy life so that he can fully suffer the consequences of all the evil that he's done. But at the same time, I want to see this stuff come to an end. And I believe that if you view Trump in the valley of the Little Bighorn, and then up above him on the ridge, you've got the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, the U.S. Attorney's Office for D.C., the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Virginia, the State Attorney General for the State of New York. You've got the House Judiciary Intelligence and Oversight Committees, all coming down on this guy with their own investigations. I don't know how he can continue to stand up.
All right. Steve Wynum, the former budget director for the great state of Louisiana, writes, my favorite quote from a member of Congress came from Garrett Graves of Baton Rouge. Robert Mueller found stupidity, says Graves, but no crime committed by the president. That's from Garrett Graves, who was less effusive in his praise for the president. And if you watched Fox News last night, Sean Hannity says, game over, game over. Is the game over? Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil, you're on with Dan Moldea.
Good morning, and thank you. I would think that we should Mr. Barr, that's what he does, is he covers up and he makes sure that presidents don't have to go to jail. I mean, he did that for Bush in 92 by having him pardon everybody that was involved in the Iran-Contra scandal.
All right, Dan Moldea, Barr was involved in Casper Weinberger.
Yeah. I agree. And there were several things where he would make representations of reports that were coming out that ended up not to be true. One of the things I'm concerned about right now is that now that Mueller has come and testified before Congress talking about the alleged spying that the Obama administration was doing on the Trump campaign, you know, I'm concerned that what I saw, I watched the Hannity show last night as well. You want me to stop here?
Yeah, we'll pick it up and we'll talk about how the conservative right largely believes this is a vindication for Donald John Trump, while, of course, the left and perhaps many in the middle believe that this is just beginning. What do you think? 877-217-5757, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for the Good Friday edition of Talk Louisiana. The headline in the New York Times today, Mueller report lays out Russian contacts and Trump's frantic efforts to foil inquiry. Dan Moldea, the celebrated investigative reporter, is with us. He has looked through the 448-page, heavily redacted document, and as have many others, the New York Times on its front page has many parts of the Mueller report front and center. One is on page 158, volume 2. The president's efforts to influence the investigation were mostly unsuccessful, but that is largely because the persons who surrounded the president declined to carry out orders or accede to his request. Dan Moldea, you were saying as we went to the break that many on the right flank, the 44% in the conflation of polls and Real Clear Politics who support the president, believes that this has basically cleared the deck for the president. He can move forward, that this is behind him, it's over, nothing to worry about. Sean Hannity says, game over. Your thoughts?
First of all, what you just noted, that site, that's my favorite part of the report, page 156 to 158. It's a pretty dramatic section as to, you know, what Mueller really accomplished in this thing. Anyway, what I was saying was that I watched Hannity last night too, and these people are in high confidence mode right now, in that they're telling the Democrats to move on, but at the same time they're really out for blood and they want payback. They want to investigate the investigators. They want to round up the usual suspects. You know, Barack Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Christopher Steele, the guy who wrote the dossier, you know, Fusion GPS, which authorized and contracted the dossier, you know, James Comey, whom they claim was in bed with Hillary Clinton, which is ridiculous. I mean, it was James Comey, in my opinion, who cost Hillary Clinton the election in 2016. And I think that and the problem with this is you just don't have screwballs now who are making this big conspiracy theory, but you have now Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, who's going to be energizing this while serving as the Attorney General of the United States. And even though there's already an IG report, which is coming, an investigation has been going on for some time by a gentleman by the name of Horowitz, who seems to be a fairly decent guy, but they want to go beyond that, and they want to, you know, extract a pound of flesh right now, again, against these suspects, this usual suspects that they're rounding up.
Again, your number, 877-217-5757. Another nugget, and this one is on page 1, Appendix C. We received the president's written responses in late November 2018. We noted, among other things, that the president stated on more than 30 occasions that he does not recall or remember or have an independent recollection of information called for by the questions. Other answers were incomplete or imprecise. That's a big part of this, and some wonder, Dan Moldea, why the president was not subpoenaed. Why do you think Mueller did not play this card?
I think Mueller did not want to wind up in court for the next 18 months, and I think that's what he was looking at. I think he was looking at slugging out a long court battle over whether the president would testify. That's the other thing that was remarkable in that Barr was saying, well, the president fully cooperated, fully supported the the special counsel's investigation yesterday. I mean, this is a guy who was trying to sabotage it at every turn, you know, sent staff in, as you pointed out earlier, so was sending, trying to get his own staff to go out and sabotage it, and they refused to do it. You know, it's a Ripley situation here where you have a guy who was, you know, really was authorizing crimes, and because the crimes weren't actually carried out, he has essentially been deemed by Fox News, let's say, the Fox News alternative universe, as allowing him to walk.
Will in North Baton Rouge. Will, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Good morning, Will.
Yes, how you doing today, gentlemen? Hi. Yeah, my biggest thing is I don't understand this, how different sides can see different views, but I think this got a lot to do about money. That's why a lot of people, because they feel like Donald Trump is a connected man around the world and stuff, and it's all to do about money.
All right. Well, what about the finances?
How do you mean?
Well,
the money?
I think he's talking about what you had mentioned on this show, that Trump was he was pumped up when he was down and out by Russian connections.
Right.
This is not in the report, at least not on what I've seen.
And what I've seen, too. Yeah, I was a little concerned about that. I mean, this was a big deal. That's why I say I think that what Mueller has done is he's given Congress a roadmap, not the attorney general, not Trump's handpicked attorney general for his cover-up purposes, but I think that he's given the Congress of the United States, specifically the House of Representatives, which is where it belongs, a roadmap for how to proceed with this. And much of this could be wind up being in the redacted material as well. So there's much to do, and the Democrats are going to have to play they're going to have to be cagey in how they're going to deal with this, because if they overplay their hand, it's essentially going to lead to Trump's reelection. I mean, this guy is nothing if not formidable.
877-217-5757, your number. Jerry on I-10. Jerry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I've read the report, and I totally agree about the 156 to 158 pages, and I'm really disappointed as a lifelong Republican that the Republicans we have in office put their party before their country. I'm a 20-year vet. And the office, the man we have as commander-in-chief now is despicable in a number of ways. He consistently tells the truth, the untruth. Every relationship he seems to have with anybody or any organization is transactional. We've lost the high ground as a nation because we have him as a president. He embraces our enemies and torts off our allies, our long-term allies. I don't understand why these people are in bed with him so much. There are other Republicans out there who would make a much better president.
Dan Moldea, that's a rare comment from a Republican criticizing President Trump, but Jerry did so quite eloquently.
I've got one word to say to that. Bravo. Bravo.
Well, in the report, the one that has been the statement that has been played up the most, when Jeff Sessions, the former attorney general, told the president that a special counsel had been appointed, the president slumped back in his chair and said, "Oh, my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm effed." That, you can see it. You can feel it. The president thought this was game over, but it turned out it wasn't.
Well, he had a lot of people running interference for him in Congress. I mean, people are talking about all these investigations. Well, you have to understand, for the first 2 years when the House was controlled by the Republicans, as was every other part of the government, the Senate, the executive branch, the Supreme Court, there were no investigations going on at all. And so as a consequence of that, you now have a situation where what the Democrats are doing is new. This is all new. They're trying to, you know, at least in the House, they're trying to feel their way through this. Also in the report, it talks about Richard Burr, who's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And he was viewed as a pretty decent guy. He had worked well with Mark Warner, who was the ranking member. And, you know, Burr is now, according to the report, the Mueller report, is not unlike Devin Nunes, you know, the super spy, the super sleuth for the Trump White House, who would be slipping in. He was head of the, I believe it was the Oversight Committee of the House, and he was basically feeding information to Trump about their investigations and findings. And apparently Richard Burr was doing exactly the same thing on the Senate side. And he's going to have some things to answer for as well. Not to mention Sarah Sanders and some of the people at the White House who Sarah Sanders specifically admitted that she had lied to the press during her when she was talking about the reasons for Comey's firing, for example. Again, the reporting on that, that's one thing. That's one of the takeaways of this whole thing is the reporting on this whole thing from soup to nuts from the beginning. And I've been calling this the golden age of investigative journalism. It has been, and it is a complete vindication of the media. Yeah, they overplayed their hand on the Russian thing, but I think the jury is still out on the Russian thing. I truly do, because we still haven't gotten a full explanation, as you pointed out, Jim, about the Russian oligarchs and the Russian mob guys who are alleged to have been involved in this thing. We still haven't gotten a full rendition of this whole money laundering thing that was alleged to have gone on.
877-217-5757, your number. We'll spend a bit more time with Dan Moldeo when we return after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on Good Friday. 877-217-5757 is your number. We're sifting through the 488-page redacted Mueller report released to the public on Holy Thursday. Clay Higgins, a congressman from Lafayette, Republican, says there was no evidence of criminal collusion or obstruction by the president or his campaign. Democrats, on the other hand, should take a deep breath because the witch hunt they began has now shifted to the frightening reality of possible criminal collusion to corrupt our 2016 presidential election by their own candidate and her allies. That from Clay Higgins. The Mueller report, page 173, says the investigation established multiple links between Trump campaign officials and individuals tied to the Russian government. Those links included Russian offers of assistance to the campaign. Ultimately, the investigation did not establish that the campaign coordinated or conspired with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Bill is calling for Dan Moldea, our guest, the intrepid reporter, Bill, on college. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hey. First of all, I agree with Dan that I don't think the Russian thing is over yet. I think there's much more to come on that. And secondly, the thing that sort of in the long range of this to keep in mind was the complicity of the Republican Congress throughout. None of this could have happened. He couldn't have, Trump could not have made any of this happen without the absolute cooperation to the nth degree of the Republican Congress, Senate, and House. And I think there's a lot of... a lot of the core of this really lies there.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Dan, would you respond?
Well said. I mean, he's exactly right. Bill has hit the nail on the head. That was a huge problem. And everyone's saying, we're tired of these investigations. Well, there was nothing going on for the first 2 years when the Republicans controlled everything. And so, what I see is going down. If this thing starts to get traction, where this counter-revolution that we want blood, the Sean Hannity, we're going to get even, investigate the investigators thing. If this thing really gets moving, I mean, we're looking and gets traction with the Attorney General of the United States energizing it from his position at the Department of Justice, we're looking at a pretty dark period in American history here. We're talking about a throwback to the days of the House Un-American Activities Committee where people are going to be red-baited, and they're going to call it Democrat socialists, which they're already doing. And people are going to wind up having people who are going to be naming names and informing on their friends. It's going to be a very, very dark period in American history, which we've already been through back in the 40s and 50s, the late 40s and early 50s.
We go to Gardeer. Leon on Gardeer. You're on the air with Dan Moldea. Hi, Leon. Welcome to Talk Louisiana.
I honestly foresee if the next Democratic president does not pardon Donald J. Trump, he will be the first president in history sentenced to federal prison, and I foresee Colin Kaepernick being in the courtroom during the sentencing.
That would be interesting. That'd be interesting.
Well, the president...
The NFL probably had him sign some sort of a waiver or something like that so he couldn't participate in something like that.
the presidency is somewhat of an insurance policy for the president, isn't it? Because as long as he's president, he's not likely to be indicted.
Yeah, again, and he can pardon himself. I mean, that could be viewed as an obstruction thing, but again, there would be litigation over something like that.
Well,
the beauty of this, like, just to go to the lady's comment about Colin, what's his name, Kaepernick. I mean, this is a typical situation. The guy took a knee to protest police brutality. That's what this whole thing was. This wasn't about dissing America or the flag or anything like that, or the national anthem. This guy took a knee because there was a series of situations where, and I'm a pro cop liberal, but there was a series of situations where there were police officers who were gunning down black guys, unarmed and unprovoked in most cases. And that's what this was about. The guy took a knee because of this. But the Republicans and the Trump people were able to change the perspective of everything by trying to proclaim this guy as being anti-American, anti-flag, and therefore anti-American. And these people have a tremendous machine which can turn night into day and day into night. It's amazing. It's astounding how much ability they have to play rough. Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Bash, one of the frequent
he's good
people on these cable programs, particularly MSNBC, he said that Trump's insurance policy ultimately will be to resign the presidency and have Mike Pence pardon him, and that would, of course, follow the precedent set by Gerald Ford, who pardoned Richard Nixon. That may very well happen, or it could happen.
Analogy where when you're looking on the ridge with all these U.S. attorney's offices getting ready to pounce on Trump, I just don't know how he can survive all of this. And I think that it's possible that his attorneys have been looking for some sort of a comprehensive deal where this whole thing could just suddenly end. We could just wake up one morning, we turn on the television, turn on the radio, listen to Jim Inkster's show, and he's telling us that, you know, Trump has gone. I mean, this whole thing could just end very suddenly.
And a listener notes, Dan, that a pardon would not involve any state charges in New York.
True.
That's
why the state attorney general is very important in this thing right now.
Well, thanks for joining us. This is a story
always
not
a pleasure,
going away.
Jim.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Moldea.
Thank you, sir.
Who's the best at what he does.